thank you guys, and thank you to all those who are serving throughout the church today. I see the balcony is nearly full, and I don't want you ever to feel like that's not recognized. Guys who make that sacrifice, yes, some of you are waving at me. Thanks to the people who set up the tents out front, the signs. That's a lot of labor and a labor of love. And so all around this church, on every Sunday and in between, there are people here who are invisibly just sweating and doing and loving God with it. And so thank you. If that's you today, thank you for what you do. Guests, we're glad you're here today. I didn't get a chance to mention it earlier, but we have a gift for you as you leave. Stop at the New Here tent. You'll see a little gift bag there put together with you in mind. No cost to you. You just take that with you. It's a gift from our heart to yours. And maybe if you would think about it, completing a connect card in your seat there and putting it in one of the offering baskets before you leave today. We're not going to harass you or abuse that information, I promise. We just want to be able to say thank you that you were here today for being at Poplar Springs. And so that's it. One more thing I'm supposed to mention, there is a photo backdrop just down the hallway here. Can't miss it. Go out of this door and turn right for Mother's Day. It's a selfie photo op. So bring your cell phone or whatever, but it's set up a backdrop just from Mother's Day. And so if you want to take advantage of that, that's there for you. Thanks to Tricia Coffer for setting that up and having that in place for us. Well, if you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of Judges. I have to confess that I have plagiarized this sermon from my son Jackson. Not exactly, but I am plagiarizing the text, the scripture text from him. He used this yesterday at his graduation as a part of his speech to his graduating class. And leading up to it, I knew he was using this, and I decided to just steal it from him. And so anyway, I've done so. So forgive me for that. It's a familiar story, one of my favorite stories in Scripture, an historical account of God calling a man named Gideon. We call him a man, but he would have been very youthful, very weak. To look at him, we wouldn't say, "Now that's a man." This is a guy who was struggling and suffering, and God decided to use him, like God does most times in Scripture. I mean, could we name one or any that God chose because that person inherently possessed a strength of their own? He goes to the far reaches and finds the humble and the hurting, and he lifts them out of that. He calls them into his great work by his mighty power through his outstretched arm, in spite of what they themselves possessed. And he does the same to you and me today. We're not saved today because there was something spectacular that he eyeballed in you and me. There was nothing desirable that caused the Lord God from heaven to be drawn to us to say, "Oh, I must have this one or that one." We're saved today, and we have any power of God, we have any enlistment into his kingdom work only because he's taken people like us who were broken, in fact, ruined in our sin, and decided by the forgiveness of the cross of Christ to call us his own. What a powerful gift we have today. And so today we're going to look with the concept of motherhood in mind at how mom points us to God. How mom points us to God. Today you may be here. Mother's Day is a joy for you. I hope so. For some, it's a time of reflection. Man, did I do it right? Oh, my regrets. You're thinking through it. You're remembering lost time. For some, it may be a time of sorrow and loss. And for some, it may be a time of anger and confusion, honestly. I think we've got to say that, don't we? Because we're going to praise motherhood today, and we should. And it is a gift from God. But there will be those sitting here and maybe listening in a broader audience who might say, "I just don't get that. I cannot connect with that because my mother was not in the picture. I don't know why. I question, God, why did this happen to me? Or my mother was in the picture, and she hurt me." There's something wrong and broken in Mother's Day for you. You're angry. You're confused. And I want you to know that's okay today. You can still celebrate God's gift of motherhood, and it is a gift. And friends, moms, dads, young men, young ladies, you can resolve to do better. You can resolve to do different than what was done to you. You can resolve to redeem, to make different your experience. And so as we celebrate this today, I don't want you to be left out. I want you to know this is for you as well. I saw on the news last week a lady who had been awarded $800,000 in a car crash, a little bump from behind. She got a car crash and sued and got $800,000, said she had disabling injuries. She couldn't do household chores. She couldn't hold her child anymore. And she sued and was awarded $800,000, was sitting pretty, until she entered and won a Christmas tree throwing contest. I have a picture of it. This is her. This is the actual lady. She entered this over in Ireland. It's the Ireland International Christmas Tree Throwing Contest. And she won it. The next picture, that it's not on here, but she's in the newspaper holding her certificate that she won. And guess who saw it? The insurance company. They said, "We want our $800,000 back," and they got it back. That's a feat of strength that if you can do that, then you can probably, Bailey, hold up the child, right? You know, you can. Moms are strong, and we praise God for your strength. And one of the greatest strengths that God gave us in our mothers is the ability to point us to God. And so through the story of Gideon today, let's look at how that happens. Verse 11 of Judges chapter 6. If you don't have your Bible, these words will be on the screen. If you don't have a Bible in your life, we don't want anyone leaving here today without a good, reliable copy of God's word just for you. We have those on the table for you if you want them on the way out. You grab that, and we would be delighted. Now the angel of the Lord came near and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. The people of God, the Israelites, the Jews, were in a terrible condition. They had been surrounded, and the whole land had been just occupied by the Midianites. The Bible says there was more of them than could be counted. They just totally outnumbered the Jews, and the Jews were hidden and depressed, and they had no food because the Midianites would just eat it up as soon as it came. And so here's Gideon, this little guy, and he is threshing out wheat, not on the threshing floor where it ought to happen. He's threshing out wheat down in a wine press, a big dugout cistern-like thing where nobody could see him. There's food down here, and if I go up there, they're going to come and get it. They might even kill me for it. So he's hiding. He's afraid. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord," that's the name Yahweh, "the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Please, my Lord." Another version says, "Please, sir." Please, that's ridiculous. "Please, my Lord, if Yahweh is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds?" You can hear the sarcasm dripping, and you should. "Where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and has given us into the hand of Midian." They're in charge. It is their grip. It is their hand that's in control. We hear all these stories from our fathers about all the mighty works of the Lord. But really, we're in a terrible, inescapable situation. The Lord has forsaken us, given us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord turned to him. Notice at first, it's the angel of the Lord. Here, it's just the Lord. Are they interchangeable? We don't have to answer that question here, but this is the presence of God, however you look at it. And Yahweh, the Bible says, turned to Gideon and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" And he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, but I will be with you, and you shall, I love the word shall, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. That just means a powerful, boom, unified blow. It's going to land. There'll be victory here. Today we're going to look at what God does here, but through the lens of God's gift of our moms and how you guys, moms, tell us something about God. There's three ways we see this. The first is this. Mom reminds us that God knows where we are. Mom reminds us that God knows where we are. Gideon was where he shouldn't have been. He was hiding in a wine press. He was terrified and weakened and powerless and embarrassed and hidden away for fear. He was helpless and nothing he could do in this moment. He wasn't even ashamed to not be a man of courage in this moment. They were so beaten down. That's just how things were for them. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord just, boom, appears. Apparently, he sat by the terebinth at Ophrah, but there's Gideon down in the wine press, and in that moment, the angel of the Lord just appears. Your mom ever done that to you? Just appeared, right? At the worst time, you're in your room, right? You just sense a dark presence. And I'm just kidding, moms. You just sense a presence, and you turn around, oh, there she is. She's just there. Been sneaking in the pantry, getting into the Oreos up on the top. You know you're not supposed to be in there. You're sneaking in there, and you just sense it from behind you. There's mom. You've got her eyeliner. You're using it as a marker again, right? She's told you not to do that, and she's there. My mom used to tell us that she had eyes where? In the back of her head. I'd say, how did you know? How did you know I was in here doing this? She'd say, I know everything. I'm a mom. I know everything. You're messing with your baby brother, standing up above his crib, like beating your chest, right? Trying to scare him. There's mom. Maybe your mom's like mine. She had good scissors, right? You're not supposed to use the good scissors. As a little boy, I never understood what's good scissors, right? Scissors are scissors. You're using her good scissors again, and boom, she just appears, right? She's just there. And you know you're caught again. You can hide from mom for a minute, but you can't hide for long. You can run from your mother once, but you can't do it again. Moms have a way, don't they? And if this is true of mom, if it's true in our experience that moms have this ability, that moms have this knowledge, that moms can find us and sense us and be multiple places and have those eyes in the back of their head, then how much truer is it of the Lord God, the one who created and redeemed us? If it's true of moms, and praise God that it is, man, it is true of God. God can find you wherever you are. Where was Gideon? He was in a bad place. God found him there. He was hiding. He wasn't hidden from God. God was able to go to him and pronounce over him a truth as a mighty man of valor. He found Moses where? In the wilderness, hiding. Right out in the middle of nowhere, hiding away. He found Jonah in the middle of the sea. He found Elijah in a tiny little village named Tishba, no one ever heard of. He found Daniel as a captive in Babylon. He found Paul and Silas shackled in a Philippian jail. This is the God who finds his people. And so today, if you find yourself in a condition and in a shape, you think, I'm not worthy of God to see me. I'm carrying a baggage of sin here, and I know God, I'm not worth finding. The wounds of my life and the hurts that I've endured have just beaten me down. I've got nothing to offer. There's no God, there's no one worth anything who would want to find me. This is a God who finds his people. And our moms remind us of that very truth. Thank you, moms, for doing that. And as you think of your mom today, let her be a picture to you of God's persistence and of his passion to find you, to love you, and to bring you home. That's what God does. That's what God does. Mom reminds us that God knows where we are. He knows where you're at today. I promise you, in the front, in the back, in the balcony, in the choir, far off somewhere listening to this somehow, God knows where you're at. You're not lost to Him. Let Him find you. But secondly, Mom reminds us how God changes things. Mom reminds us how God changes things. Here's what happens in this moment. Gideon is down in that hole, hiding, and God makes a pronouncement over him that is just false on its face. There's no way that this is believable. And Gideon says so. He says, "Please, sir." God calls him a mighty man of valor. He said, "Please, sir. That's ridiculous, sir." Gideon goes on later to say, "I'm the lowest of the least, of the weakest. How am I going to do the things that you're saying that I'm supposed to do?" God makes a pronouncement over him that is totally false. But when God says it, it doesn't have to stay that way. I went outside the other night after seeing on the news that the Northern Lights were here. Did y'all go look at them? Were they just amazing and astonishing to you? Not to me. I went out there, I looked up at the moon. There was barely a red streak in the sky. I'm glad I went out there. I'm glad I got to see it. But I'm also glad I didn't pay money for it, right? I'm glad they came down for the weekend. That's fine. But it didn't blow me away, did it you? I mean, the reality of it was a lot dimmer than what I thought I was going to experience in that moment. And the reality of Gideon here is a dim reality. That's what we call it, reality, because all he had to do is look around. Here's what's real. Here's what I'm experiencing. Here are the actual circumstances. They're eating all of our food. Our fathers are blabbing all the time about how good God is, but we're not seeing it. I mean, all this is happening. We're in the hand of the Midianites. That's the reality. And God comes along and with a word changes everything. My mom was great about encouraging me. I remember when I was a preteen, 10, 11, 12, she'd always say, "Oh, you're so handsome." My mom's here today, by the way. I get points for all of this. She would say, "You're so handsome, you know, you look so great." I look at those pictures of myself now, and I totally cringe, right? It was awful. If you could see my hair alone, the way I tucked my shirt way down in, right? Way down in. The shorts that it's even for the time, it was out of style. I never knew it. You know why? Because Mom told me I was handsome, right? See, moms encourage us, don't they? They tell you these things. I preached my first sermon in Chattanooga. My mom was there. After it was over, she said, "Oh, that was the best sermon. That was such a good sermon." I listened to it later. I want to crawl in a hole after listening to that sermon. But to her, at least she told me, to her, it was a great sermon. And I believed it. I believed it was a great sermon. And I went in the confidence and the joy of thinking I had preached a great sermon and that I was quite a handsome 11-year-old, right? You have trouble believing that I was ugly at one point in my life, I'm sure. But I was in a program called Showboat in middle school. High school, I guess. High school. Showboat. We all danced and sang old songs, oldies, and different things. And I remember coming to that. I had a special role in it one year, and my mom told me how funny it was. And I watched the VHS tape of that later, and I was the most awkward weirdo on the stage, right? I had to hug a girl that I liked. Let me tell you, you've never seen a hug like that. You wouldn't want to hug a girl ever again if you saw me how I hugged her. My mom said it was great. So funny. You did a great job. Your dance steps were perfect. I went to the police academy. And even though now I understand and I know that as a mom, that's not probably what you would want for your son or daughter. And all the fears that are involved in that. You know, how you can imagine all that. And I graduated the police academy, and on the lawn of Chattanooga State Technical Community College, where we had that ceremony, my mom came out, we got a photo out there. She said, "I'm so proud of you." Moms, right? Thank God for moms. Moms have the power, the unique power, to build us up, to make us something we're actually not. But God has the authority to make pronouncements over our lives that are in fact binding. They're authoritative, they're effectual, they're permanent. It's more than just encouragement. It's more than just wishful and positive thinking. God comes to that hole where Gideon has nothing, and he says, greetings to you, O mighty man of valor. And no matter what the circumstances say, no matter what Gideon says that makes real sense to us, it does. No matter that, it is God's pronouncement that endures and that goes forward. God has the power, wherever you find your life today, to come into it and to speak over it a truth that is binding, that will change your life no matter what the circumstances say. And I praise God for that this morning. He can change our reality. What is your reality today? Is it sin? Are you just laden with sin? Matthew, you don't even know the sin. I couldn't even speak it to you, Pastor, if I wanted to. God knows. He knows your reality. Sorrow, aloneness, drifting. Maybe you're without people. Maybe you're without purpose. Maybe you're ashamed of what's behind you. Maybe you're afraid for what's ahead of you. Listen, draw near to Yahweh God, the Lord. Draw near to him. His arm is not short. His words are never idle. But only he holds the power to change the things that really matter. Don't give anyone else that power. Don't give it to them. Don't give it to your circumstances. Don't give it to your sin. You be what God says you are. You go to him. Mom reminds us that God has the power to change things. But lastly, Mom reminds us that God is in charge. God is the one in charge. God totally ignores everything that Gideon says. I love that. Let me just go back and read it again. He says, greetings, O mighty man of valor, and then Gideon just launches. Please, Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers are recounting to us? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. Here's what the Lord does. He turns to Gideon. I don't know why he was turned away from Gideon, do you? Maybe they were looking down together over the valley at the vast number of the Midianites, their army and their clanging, their campfires and their tents and their horses and the smoke and all of this. Maybe they were turned and looking down at the valley as Gideon was saying, look how ridiculous it is what you're saying. Look how hopeless the situation is. And in that moment, Yahweh, the angel of the Lord, if you will, turns to Gideon. And listen what he says after that big speech that Gideon just gave. Go in this might of yours. That's a non sequitur. It doesn't make sense to us. But he just totally ignores all that Gideon just said. It's like our moms used to do. What do they say to us? Because I said so, right? Why, Mom? Because I said so. But it don't make sense to me, Mom. Why do we have to do this, Mom? On and on and on. She just says, because I said so. That's what the Lord seems to do here. Gideon makes a very valid case. He says, no, you're going in this might, M-I-G-H-T, in this might that I have just pronounced over you. Because I said so is one answer, but the strong answer here is because I am with you, right? That's what God says. Because I said so, just do it. Just do it. But also, I'm going to be with you. He says that at least twice in here. I'm going to go with you. Is it not I? Is it not I who send you? Yes, you're weak. I'm not weak. I'm here. I'm going to go where I tell you to go. I'm going to be there with you. 1973, a song came out, Paul Simon, number 2 on the charts that summer. It's called this, Loves Me Like the Rock of Ages. Who knows that song? Seriously, just raise your hand. Let me see. Anybody knows that song? Young, any teenagers know that song? Extra points. Can't believe y'all don't know that song. Your parents should be scolded. If you're their parents, raise your hand. It is almost 50 years old, or 51 years old, I guess. Loves Me Like the Rock of Ages, Paul Simon. Listen to it. Look it up. Listen to it today. But I'm going to tell you about it before we go home. Here's Paul Simon telling a story and song about his mother's love, how far it goes, and he has three verses to explain why he is safe, why he is protected, why he is confident in his life, even though the devil is calling his name, right? He says, when I was a little boy and the devil called my name, I said, who do you think you're fooling? Here's what he said about himself. I'm a consecrated boy. I'm singing in the Sunday choir, right? And my mama loves me. He said, my mama loves me. She loves me. She gets down on her knees and hugs me. She loves me like the rock. She rocks me like the rock of ages and loves me. Yeah, I'm a consecrated boy. I'm a good boy. I'm set apart. I'm a good boy. I sing in the Sunday choir. When the devil calls my name, I've got these credentials. But the biggest credential I have, the biggest protection and confidence I have is my mama loves me. She loves me. He goes on to the next verse and says, when I was grown to be a man, that old devil would call my name. I'd say, who do you think you're fooling? He said, I'm a consummated man, a grown man. I'm big and strong. I'm living a good life. He talks about purity, living a good life. And oh yeah, don't forget the biggest part. My mama loves me. And he sang that verse again. And he got to the third verse of the song. Songs usually build in this way. The role of evil is usually going to grow throughout the song. And the third verse, the crescendo, the buildup, is going to be the worst evil. And so the evil in the first two verses is what? The devil. The devil calling my name. What could be more evil than the devil? Congress, right? Paul Simon. That's how the song goes. He said, if I was the what? President. And the Congress called my name. I didn't say it. Paul Simon said it. The Congress called my name. I'd say, who do you think you're fooling? I got the presidential seal. I'm up in the presidential podium. Words to the song. And my mama loves me. He said, my mama loves me. Oh, my mama loves me. She gets down on her knees and hugs me. She loves me like a rock. She rocks me like the rock of ages. It's amazing to me that in this song, the highest appeal that Paul Simon knows how to make to the extreme love of a mother is to say, she kind of loves me. She's kind of as nurturing to me. She's kind of as stable to me and unending to me as God Almighty, the rock of ages. She loves me like the rock of ages. When Congress calls my name, man, if I'm the president, I got the presidential seal. I'm at the presidential podium. All those things are good, but they're not as good as the fact that my mama loves me. She's with me no matter what comes against me. That devil calls my name. Congress calls my name. I'm tempted. I'm tried. I'm struggling. But mom loves me. It never fails. That's what God says to Gideon. Gideon, you idiot. Do not I send you, right? Well, the devil's called my name. Those Gideonites, they do not I send you? Well, you know, the Congress has called my name. You know, and we're weak here. I'm the lowest clan and the weakest tribe. And I myself, I'm young and weak. Do not I send you? I will be with you. The one who loves you is the Holy One of Israel. There is power in that. Higher than your circumstances today. Stronger than your breeding today. I'm speaking to you now. This is not about Gideon. Higher than your breeding today, no matter where you come from. Greater than your sin is the offer of God to go with you and to never, ever leave you. God is with you. He tells the truth about you. He overpowers your weakness. He overrules the forces that oppose you. Can I be saved today? Matthew, you don't know my circumstances when I ask that question. Could I be saved today? I don't have to know your circumstances because I know the God over those circumstances. And I can tell you assuredly on the authority of God's word, his eternal character, and the spilled blood of Jesus Christ, yes, you may be saved. There is power in knowing that God has done it. Can I be saved? Yes, you can. Can I really go where God sends me? Can I really be the mom that God wants me to be, the dad that God intends me to be? Can I really suffer this loss at my workplace in order to keep my integrity? Yes, you can. Why can I do it? It doesn't seem like it. Because God is with you. Matthew, you don't know the limitations, the confinements of my life right now. I don't have to know them. I know the God over them. And he is able. That's what he says to Gideon. I'm going to go with you. You know, the ultimate story of Gideon is a story of God's deliverance over an unbeatable enemy. And before we go today, I want to tell you this. There is no more unbeatable of an enemy than the deadly grip of our sin, the everlasting terror of unforgiveness before a righteous God. And the same God who stood before Gideon and was able is the same God who sent his son Jesus Christ into our world to shed his blood, to offer forgiveness to you and me because he died to pay the price for our sin. You can be cleansed, forgiven, and forever free. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. And if we were to look at the circumstances, if we were to listen to our own voice like Gideon did, we could craft together quite an articulate case that no, God does not love us like that. That no, the shed blood of Jesus is not sufficient for me. But that's not what God has to say. And when God says it, friend, it is binding and it is true. His deliverance through Jesus Christ this morning. There's deliverance for you, Christian brother or sister, to walk out of here, to be changed, to want to listen and say yes to God more, to stop being mealy-mouthed and the complaining and the sorrow of circumstances and to go in his mighty presence and power. But for those who are here today or hearing this later who are not in Christ, your sins are unforgiven, you're destined for eternal separation from God. If that's you today, I want you to know that he stands ready to save even you. He has the power to do it, even if you can't think it. And so today, which voice will you listen to? The voice of circumstances, the voice of your reality, if you will, or will you listen to the voice of God? Which reality will you choose this morning? To whom are you going to grant permission to speak over your life? Listen to the Lord. He's who matters. Let me pray. Just a moment, I'd like to offer you a chance to respond to what we've sung and what we've heard today. God is so good. We have much to thank him for. And a good God like this, a powerful God like this, an eternal God like this, who by his own divine choice came to our dirt, walked in this broken world, suffered greatly so we could be forgiven, and died in our place, has the right to be heard. He has the right to be heard. And so today, if God has spoken to you, let me urge you to do something about it, to hear him and to respond to what God has said. You could do that, of course, right in your seat, but I welcome you to come forward if you'd like to. I'll be happy to pray with you. Pray on your own if you like to do that. If you need to make a decision for Christ today, what a great day to do that on Mother's Day. Celebrating the one from whom you were born can be the day that you were born again to new life. What a praise that would be. At the end of all things here, if you've got business to do with God, you know it. No more words from me are going to advance that. It's between you and the Lord, and so if you need to come, if you need to speak to him, wouldn't you do that? Lord, thank you for the word of God, for trusting it to us. Thank you so much for our moms. Father, what a gift we have to be thankful for. As we listen to you now, help us to say that what you say is our reality. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing it as we do. I invite you to respond.